So I can't start with the opening Manure Happens, as John did so boldly this morning in our sermon, and if you haven't had the chance to listen to it, when it appears on the web, I recommend you do. But I can't help but start with a not so much an urban myth, but a rural one about a country church, which had posted up outside. It was a relatively lonely church in a field somewhere, and it had posted up outside, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This church is closed on weekdays." Somewhat different to Jacob's experience in today's Hebrew scripture reading that we heard some little while back now. Poor old Jacob, eh? On the run from his murderous intent of his brother Esau, not knowing where he's going next, having to leave behind his mother, his home, his life, and find a new way. Then comes, as we heard in that first reading for this evening, a vision from God. Angels ascending and descending on some kind of heavenly ladder arrangement. You would have thought that the budget might have stretched to some kind of elevator, maybe at least an escalator, but apparently not. Anyway, that reassuring vision, followed by words of comfort and promise for Jacob, sets equilibrium again and all is well. Or maybe not. Jacob, whose name means tricker, tricky, or trickster, has indeed been a kind of Loki, another trickster that we're familiar with in popular culture at the moment, the Loki of the Hebrew scripture, tricking his brother Esau out of his rightful inheritance, initially with a pot of vegetable stew, and then dressing up in animal skins to imitate the smell and feel of his older brother, older by just seconds, to receive Esau's appropriate first son blessing from his father. It's a wonderful story, and is summed up beautifully in a monologue by the English comedian Alan Bennett and writer, "My brother is an hairy man, but I am an smooth man." Google it sometimes. It's worth going to listen to from beyond the fringe. So Jacob, who is actually tricky and fraudulent, scheming and conniving, is the one who gets the ladder vision and the promises. And Esau is left to stew. Did you see what I did there? Until we get to the wrestling part. There's a wrestling with angels at the Brook of Jabbok, but that's a spoiler and that comes later in the story. So God calls and God blesses some seriously dubious characters in our scripture, so it seems. As for the gospel reading this evening, well, the link between the two readings seems just that there's another view of this heavenly ladder going up and down with angels descending and ascending. So I'm not going to spend too much time on that part of this evening's readings. I can't go into the many layered meanings behind all of this stuff about "I saw you under the fig tree" and the, how much truth this Israelite has more than any other in Israel, because there is so much to it. But I will say it's another calling story, just like the Esau, the Jacob story. So there are overlaps there. They are part of the origin stories of who Israel is. In fact, Jacob later goes on to be called Israel, and who we are as the church that were to follow. The first followers of Jesus we hear about, who would become the followers of the way, and later, us. These origin stories don't, unlike the previous superhero stories I may have referenced in other sermons, set up the characters with some kind of special powers. It's not like Peter was bitten by a radioactive fish or something. In fact, what they do is set up the characters at the heart of the story as flawed and imperfect and on a journey that will indeed lead them to purpose and growth and even transformation. But they don't become a finished product because they are called to this journey, to be a nation, to be a people, to be a new beginning or a new community or whatever. In fact, they never become a finished product. Who of us ever does? But they are always people working in partnership with God and with others to seek new understanding, and who by virtue of being those open to learning, albeit inadvertently sometimes, they are able to participate in the work of remaking the world. It is difficult for us not to see the characters in our scripture stories beyond the two dimensions that they seem to present to us initially. It so often seems they're just characters being moved around in stories. But within these stories, if we look, there are nuances, clues, metaphors, and ideas that help us tackle questions of meaning and identity and a calling for the here and the now. Whether or not these accounts have any basis in history or real events, as we might call them, they are pointing us towards questions we are encouraged to ask and to answer for ourselves here and now. Questions like, what is our sense of calling? To what are we being called? Who are we being called to be together? What are those things we have to leave behind? And what should we take with us? Where are we going? I do believe we are being asked these questions on every level at this moment, as individuals, in community, in our society, in the world. As we enter the next phase, or whatever it is, of pandemic, as we see violence grip the globe, as we recognize the climate emergency is not just approaching, but here and now, who, what, and where are we called to be? And where and how are we going to answer these questions in a way that gets to grip with the reality and the urgency of the need in our world? That bit we have to work out together, to answer it in our way together, and to seek answers in this community and beyond. May God grant us the vision to do so. Amen.